This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. Teachers had taught me when cool. They're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. I have to admit, it's getting better. A little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. It's always great to see you.
Well, it is great to have you here at KUT for another episode of Higher Ed. If you have a topic that you would like us to discuss in an episode, please email me. We would love to hear those. My email address is jstaton, that's J-S-T-A-Y-T-O-N, at KUT.org. Please write in with your episode ideas. We received an email from somebody who wanted to know about transferring colleges. It's a really great question. Austin wrote in, I was hoping you could discuss the topic of transferring colleges. When is it the right decision? When is it not? A lot of college students think about this and are not sure how to navigate it. It's a big question, too, because obviously, you know, there can be practical reasons to want or need to transfer. It could just be you're not feeling like it's a good fit. So how do you start even thinking about it?
It's a very complicated issue and a very subtle question. It's certainly a question that needs to happen at an individual basis. So essentially, there's nothing that we can share here that is going to be useful. So that's the first thing.
All right. Well, thanks, Ed.
That wraps up another episode. Right. But I'll share with you some of the issues that lead to this question, and then questions and challenges that one can give oneself to determine what is the right move for that person. Because in my 30-year experience as a faculty member, I've seen a lot of students engage in me in conversation about whether they should transfer or not. And it's very interesting that every possibility that you can imagine can happen. They transfer or they don't transfer. And if they transfer, they are happy with the transfer or they regret it. Or if they don't transfer, they're happy they didn't or they regret it. I mean, every possibility is out there and I've experienced them all. It really is at the individual level. And it's a matter of balancing so many things. Now, you mentioned an important issue in your preamble, which is some practical elements. I mean, certainly if it turns out that the location is bad for one reason or another, too close to home, too far from home or whatever, then there's some obvious things. So let's dismiss all the obvious things.
Sort of the practical, pragmatic reasons why you might need to be in a different place.
Correct. Then there are two main issues that I think are worth thinking about together. And one is I'm not fitting in, and one is a curricular thing. So let's do the curricular thing first. So the curricular thing says, you know, I decided I fell in love with this particular subject, and the school I'm at doesn't focus on it or doesn't have a strong program on it and so forth. In that case, my suggestion or the prompt that I would offer to that student would be to first of all say, are you happy at the institution?
In general.
You
know, and your living arrangements, everything.
Well, and just the other classes and just the vibe of the place. Because I think we talked about how to pick a school. It's more from the gut and the heart than the intellect.
Sure.
And so if you feel it, if you're feeling it, but boy, I wish that quirky little program that I love so much would be better here, then I would challenge you to think about maybe staying. For the simple reason that, and we've talked about this too, you can't predict what you really are going to be doing. And so that quirky little thing that's a passion of yours today might be passé tomorrow. And so you're going to forego this amazing holistic experience because you want to study that particular weird thing. So maybe do that as best you can. Do internships, do summer stuff, and whatever. Now, if that thing is eclipsing everything else, then obviously it's a different conversation. But if you really are thriving at that institution, again, it comes down to the liberal arts philosophy, which is it doesn't really matter what you study. You can always specialize later.
Well, and one of the words you said to me really interesting in your answer was better. So how do you determine if Department X at this school is better or worse than Department X at this school, same subject? because faculty have different credentials. Like, what really constitutes a better department here than here?
Right. So suppose that you're in institution X, and you're looking longingly at institution Y, where their program is world-renowned. But at institution X, you've got a faculty mentor who really cares about you. And even though it's a small program and not as strong as university Y, institution Y, you're being cared for and nourished. Then you transfer to Y, and turns out no one will even talk to you.
And
So what is better? So you're absolutely right. The question of best, to me, it's not those generic rankings. It's not what you read about. It's where the fit is. Now, if at institution Y, which has a better program, you will find mentors and professors who will allow you to become even better and greater than you are, well, then that's fine. But just because it's ranked higher, that's not a good reason.
Well, and you said, you know, you were going to sort of focus on two areas here. One was curricular, and the other one was that idea of fitting in. You know, are you in a place where you feel like
you belong?
Right, and that vibe is meeting your vibe.
And this is really hard. I'd say that the first one's easy, because you can see if there's only two faculty members doing your favorite thing, and the other school there's 100.
Right.
Well, then okay. The fitting in is the challenging one, and this is where I've had the most interesting conversations with students as they try to balance their future, because I believe in uncomfortable learning. I think we might have even talked about it. So this idea that I'm not interested in having you always feel comfortable. So when a student arrives, or even in their second year, if they're still uncomfortable, I personally, as an educator, see that as a plus. When I was in college and I had an amazing undergraduate experience, there were times, especially early on, where I was uncomfortable. And that helped. That enhanced my growth intellectually and in all directions about my own personal growth. And it also helped educationally as well. In some sense, I'd like to make sure that the person is transferring because they're uncomfortable or don't feel at home or feel the vibe, because there's a genuine problem. So, for example, imagine an individual being at an institution where everyone really just dislikes that person and shows that in kind of vitriolic ways. Well, then obviously that's not a great fit. But just because maybe people will disagree with the person, or the person hasn't found that right group or that comfort group, I would suggest that the person dig a little deeper and see if they can find that comfort.
This is going to be a bit of a crude analogy, but it's a little bit to me like if you have a partner and you're trying to decide if you want to stay together or break up. Do you stay together and sort of try to work things out and figure it out, or you decide to move on? In some cases, there's an obvious yes or no answer to it. But, you know, in some cases, you could probably make it work by figuring things out, but you could also be happy maybe at a different institution.
That's right. And I think the key thing is what defines making it work. And I think, by the way, thinking of it as a relationship is correct. Now, if you're actually in a complicated relationship where there's children involved, then you're thinking, oh, goodness, I don't want to, you know, and then it becomes complicated. So this is a situation where you're in a relationship with no children.
Right.
Because really, it's what's best for you and the your partner or the institution as well, and where's the best fit. But it's not just a matter of can I make it work. I'm not trying to get one of my students to say, oh, I can get through it, because that's not what we're talking about. We're trying to find a way for that person to flourish. But it's possible. We must be open to the possibility that to flourish, we might have to be a little uncomfortable for a little bit. Now, if that is going to be a road to having a richer and deeper and more joyful life, then it's worth the short-term investment. If it's not, then it's not worth the investment.
We've been talking about a good fit, so that brings me to the puzzler.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is all about socks.
And one size fits all.
Right. Getting your socks on and getting ready to go to school. So remind us about the puzzler.
So little Jennifer is getting ready for her first day back at school. She's, of course, running late and in a hurry, and her room is completely dark. She needs to get a pair of socks. She opens her sock drawer, and she can't see it because it's completely dark, but she knows for sure that inside that sock drawer we have 10 pairs of gold socks, 10 pairs of black socks, and 11 pair of blue socks. But they're all mixed up and they're not clumped together. So just, you know, individual socks are all over a place and mixed up. The question is, what is the fewest number of socks that she needs to pull out to guarantee that she has a matched pair that she can wear to her first day at KUT Studios for Morning Edition?
I found this actually very challenging.
Great.
And here's why. Please. It was the word guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got essentially 62 loose socks rolling around in the drawer. The golds, the blacks, and the blues.
Oh, because of double, right? Thank you.
Right, right. So they're 10 pairs. So I just did, since they're single socks, I'm trying,
yes,
but
yes.
Isn't it possible that I could reach in 20 times and pull out all the gold ones at first, right? But that would be make my minimum 2. But that's not a guarantee. I could pull out a gold and a blue or a black and a gold. The guarantee really threw me for a loop.
So what is your guess?
I actually do not have a guess.
Okay, so then let's use one of the effective thinking strategies.
Yes.
And let's just try.
Okay.
Okay, so let's think. Now, to guarantee, we have to look for worst case scenarios. This idea of pulling out all gold is really good.
Well, all gold is actually the best case scenario because that gives me a pair. Right.
So we don't want to consider that. No. We want to consider worst case.
So the worst case scenario is I pull out one gold.
Go.
One blue,
right.
And one black.
Right. And then what?
And I still don't have.
So what do you do now?
So I pull again.
And what do you now?
Well, by this point, somebody's got to be a match because your fourth sock.
Correct.
Has got to match one of the first three. So it's got to be 4.
Now, notice how quickly you got to the answer because you just said, let's consider a worst case extreme scenario.
And you've suggested that before.
Of course I have. And you apparently aren't listening.
I'm sorry, what? I had to do it. I love that we're sort of building a library of strategies for working through these puzzlers. You can take those strategies sort of out of the puzzle realm,
right,
like into real life realm, kind of like actually this question about transferring colleges.
And you know, in a previous episode, I mentioned that over the summer, I wrote a book. That is the exact content of the book. How to use puzzlers. And I even include a couple of the ones that we have done together.
Oh, great.
How to use puzzlers to practice habits and practices of effective thinking to allow you to think through the puzzles in your everyday life.
One of the things I think that taking the skills from working on and solving puzzles and bringing them to real life questions is, at least to me, it makes the real life situation seem a little less daunting. So, you know, the question of transferring colleges that we've been talking about can seem overwhelming. You know, you've made a decision to go to a school, your family's all psyched, you figured out the finances and financial aid, and then to kind of want to make a change there can feel really big and, oh, am I making a mistake? But if you have some tools, it can make what can seem like a very daunting question maybe seem a little more manageable.
Exactly right. And in this case, for example, using that exact tool that we used here is just to follow the consequences of a scenario and see where it leads you. So imagine, suppose I were to transfer. Now, what would that mean? Well, now I'd be this far away from a certain place. It would cost this much money. The school's this size. Where would I live? How would it go? And then think through and say, oops, I never thought about that, but that is an issue, and maybe I need to back up and try something else. Life's puzzles are always overwhelming, and especially if they involve college decisions, because it seems like that's setting you up for the rest of your life. By breaking things down and thinking effectively through them carefully and quietly, you can make dramatic inroads and go really, really far into finding that solution.
Well, Ed, thank you for helping us puzzle through not only puzzlers, but some of life's bigger questions, too. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.